Hello, neighbors. This is Trent and Jenny from Louisiana.
We are owners at Disney's Riviera Resort, and you're listening to My DVC Points.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed. Your fast passes are booked. Pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 91 of the My DVC Points podcast. Today's show is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. They are the world's leader in DVC resales, with 11 former direct guides and 2 former quality assurance managers straight from Disney. You can get that Disney level of experience without having to pay the Disney prices. I've bought 6 contracts through them, sold one, and I've sent hundreds of listeners to them and hear nothing but great things back. DVCResaleMarket.com. If you're looking to buy, if you're looking to sell, let them know you heard about them here on the My DVC Points podcast. In today's show, we've got an interesting guest lined up for you. Christy from the DCL podcast is also a Disney travel agent with Pack Your Pixie Dust. And in today's show, we get to unpack her Disney history, following her from becoming a fan of Disney to escalating to superfan to becoming a part-time travel agent and then buying into DVC. Which I know a lot of travel agents usually end up getting the travel agent discounts, and they don't necessarily buy into DVC. In today's show, Christy's going to unpack that for us and give us some great travel tips.
I'd like to welcome to the show, Christy Puttick. How you doing today, Christy?
I am well. How are you?
Doing great. It is good to talk with you again. I know we got to meet up at the Motor City Mouse Meet back in the fall. And we've talked a few times online with various podcasts and other different things. So it's good to talk with you again.
You as well. It's fun.
Christy, tell me a little bit about your Disney background and story here, because I think there's an interesting angle that I got to fish out of this interview.
Well, I'll be curious what that interesting angle is. So I think my Disney story started late. Well, it did start late. But growing up, we went a few times when I was a kid. We went when I was 7, and we drove down from Michigan, and that was fun. We stopped at the beach on the way home. And then we went again when I was 6th grade, something like that. And then I went a couple of times as a teenager. And then I didn't go back again until I did then a couple of trips in my 20s. And I think it was then that I started to really become addicted to Disney.
Well, just to recap here, it sounds like you went a couple times as a kid, took off your teens for the most part, and then 20s, you know, were you like, was this like a honeymoon trip I hear people going back for, or what led you back there in your 20s?
I got married in my 30s, so it was definitely not a honeymoon trip, but in my 20s, I went with friends, a friend and her family, so we were all adults, and they were like experts at it. Probably like we would maybe be deemed right now. They knew everything. They didn't have to look at a map. They knew what rides to go on in what order. They knew where to eat. They knew where to go to the restroom. Like they knew everything. And I was just in awe. I was amazed. And so then after that, I was like, well, I need to, and that was in 2006. And so then I was like, I need to do this. Like, this is awesome to do it this way. So I know for sure my mom and I went, because I did a Run Disney event. And so we went a few years later to do that. And just a couple of other like random trips here and there that I was kind of hooked. So we would cruise. So we'd go sometimes before a cruise as well. And so if there was something leaving out of Port Canaveral, then we would make sure we did a couple of days at Disney as well. And then my husband and I, so we went on our first trip together, I believe around 2010. And we weren't married yet. I was like, oh yeah, I love this. And that is actually, we'll talk about later, but where I got into my love for Disney Vacation Club. But then we had my son and we just went a million times.
Okay. So it went from, I like this as a single person, I like this as a couple. And then once the kid came along, the accelerator was down, right?
It was. And I think it was also because I became a travel agent. And I think all of that developed sort of at the same time. So then I started coming up with my brand name, if you will. Just all of that together made me more addicted to Disney.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. The interesting story and the hook here is I see a lot of travel agents and you all seem to fall in one of two categories. Some are, I don't do DVC because I get travel agent discounts. And the others are like, nah, man, I'm so addicted that I got to keep going all the time. And this gets me what I want.
Yeah. And that was actually a conversation I had when we joined. Finally, I asked my salesperson straight out because I was like, when I first went to the meeting, it was very much, I just want information. I'm curious how much it costs per point. That was literally the reason I went. I had no idea what it cost per point. I hadn't done any research. I walked by it a million times at the parks. I knew people with DVC memberships and DVC owners, and I just didn't look into it fully. And in 2018, we were on a cruise, and I finally said, you know what? I have some time. I'm going to go set up a meeting. I want to know why. Well, I didn't even know I was going to set up a meeting. I just wanted to know how much per point it was. And then, you know, that turns into, well, you need to set up a meeting. So I told the salesperson, I said, look, just like you, you get discounts. I get discounts. I need to see where this makes sense to me.
Okay. So just to recap here then, 2010, you started to get an interest in DVC. 8 years later on a cruise.
2010 or 11. It was probably 2011. But then I stayed in my first Disney Vacation Club room at that time in 2011.
Okay.
But that's sort of where that died.
Okay. Now, did you stay in like a cash room through DVC or through a friend's points or somebody?
A friend's points. Yeah. A friend had gifted us two nights at a one bedroom in Kidani, Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Gotta love those kind of friends.
Oh my God. Right? I think her points were going to expire, honestly. Because then, and which is fine, right? Because it was amazing and I would take that anytime. But I actually manage her membership now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I have her login. I use her points often, along with my own, and we'll work it out where she wants to go, or I just pay her for the points because she wasn't banking them. There was just a lot going wrong. So I said, can I just help you with this? I can't stand to let these points go to waste. So I actually started managing, if you will, the DVC account before I was ever a member.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So you really did know everything about it and how it worked.
I knew a little bit about it and I knew more than maybe some, but even like I asked recently in your group, I had to ask about what happens when you make a reservation and cancel and where it goes. So I'm still learning some of those nuances.
Okay. I guess what I find interesting here is you've been logging on as a member and making reservations and seeing the whole back end. Because I know when I was looking into DVC, I would have loved to have been able to have that access because that's how I can figure out something and see how it really works.
Right. Yeah. And so that part is true that I had that part down. Like I knew how to go in and make a reservation. I even knew how to bank points before I was a member. I didn't exactly understand pulling the points out and not being able to put them back in and some things like that. I didn't understand all of that, but I was still able to work the interface.
Got it. So the other big question you probably had to have a good feel for was availability because you had access to the availability tool and to be searching.
Yeah, but I feel like in 16 and 17, when I was using it more, and maybe 15, there was a lot more availability. So I think I actually was disappointed. I'm going to be honest. I was disappointed by the availability once I became a member.
Well, let's see, you own at Copper Creek, so you were probably looking for studios there then, right?
Yes, but, and I will also say that when we used our friend's points, we usually got a two-bedroom because my mom would be coming with us, or a one-bedroom, but we almost never used her points for a studio.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think those rooms were more readily available as well.
Yeah, because you're looking for a studio at 11 months at Copper Creek, which is really tight because there's just not enough of them there.
I know. Yeah, we got it this year for 8 million points over spring break, which I ended up changing. Obviously, that was a good thing, or was getting canceled no matter what. But we ended up changing it to a travel agent rate and then turning my points into a cabin for this fall. But I was able to get spring break, which I was pretty proud of at the moment. And maybe it was because the points were 8 million points to stay. So that was probably the reason why.
Yeah. Spring break is not that hard to get anymore because everybody is trying to stretch their points out. So that peak season is really not peak. Okay.
And then, yeah. And then this year's Michigan spring break fell in line with Easter. So it just made the price per point so much more.
I feel the pain there because your gold annual passes don't work anymore. It's in a lockout phase.
Yeah. So the pain was even worse because I bought platinum annual passes so that we could use them over spring break that I never got to use over spring break.
Ouch. Ouch. Yeah. Ouch. Ouch.
That is painful.
Okay. So picking back up with our story, 2010, you got an interest. You started managing somebody else's account. When did you start to become a travel agent in here? Because that's another interesting story as to how people end up going that travel agent path.
I actually became a travel agent in 2011.
Okay.
And that, I was just rethinking about this story recently, but literally it was the game you play when my husband and I were on a walk, and it was this, what would you do if you won the lotto game? Mm-hmm. And we did not win the lotto, but in my head, I was going to become a travel agent to plan people's vacations because I am an attorney. I am still a practicing attorney. And I think in my head as well, I thought if I won the lotto, I would stop being an attorney and I'd be a travel agent. Now that I have been a travel agent for 9 years, I would not be a travel agent either, but not be a travel planner, but I would just use all my millions and go on vacation and give it to a different travel agent.
Got it. Okay. So the grass wasn't as green as what you're telling me.
No, it sure wasn't.
So then from the travel agency over to the DVC membership, 2018, you are on a cruise and you've been going these land and sea deals. And what finally clicked for you that you said, now's the time?
My husband saying the worst words to me ever, which was, maybe this could make sense. Anytime he does anything like that, we end up purchasing the thing or agreeing to the thing, it's the worst. Because I said, even as we were in the meeting, and I told the, of course, doesn't everybody say this? We will not be buying. And then we're in the meeting and I still am telling them, we are not buying. We are not buying right now anyway. And then I started to think, you know, the price is going to go up per point, and it's always that they're offering some deal. And he said, maybe this would make sense. And so it was game over. I had to have it.
Got it. Okay.
But we still thought about it because A, I have to analyze things a bit. And B, we were buying it into, putting it into a trust. And so I couldn't buy that on the cruise anyway.
So there was just some paperwork that had to be done, some extra paperwork to title this thing in the name of a trust that they can't do on a cruise ship. That's a good thing to note.
Right. And they needed a copy of it. And it worked out too, because we were going to have to finance some of it. And so we decided, oh, and that's another thing. I had gotten, my grandparents had given us money. There's three of us grandkids. They gave us each some money when we were in our 20s to buy real estate with. And I had bought a condo, and there's a bunch of reasons why it sold in 2018. We threw a bunch of money in the savings account. We did some things with some other money, and then there was this little tiny pocket of money left. And I had made a rule that I was not going to use it for just a vacation. Like, we weren't allowed to just go spend it on a 1 week vacation. We could buy something with it. So we used some of that money, you know, a large down payment on our contract. So that, I think, was one of the reasons that it sort of worked out. But we did not make an official decision until we came home from the cruise. It was a very short cruise, for one. But we didn't make any decisions. It was, we left the lines of communication open, and we knew that we were buying it into a trust. So we could not buy it during those 3 days. And then I also knew that we were going to have to finance a little bit of it. I didn't want to use Disney's 10%, which was what my rate would have been financing, I wanted to get a better rate. And so we needed to work it out so that I could find a better interest rate for the balance.
And by the way, we are working on an estate planning show to come back in with you, an attorney, and a finance company and talk about titling and trusts and all that kind of fun stuff. So everybody needs to stay tuned for that as well.
Fun stuff. I mean, it's the least fun conversation you can have in your life, but it's also important.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that because it's important that members get that right.
Yeah, I know. I do actually have some people, because that's what I do in my law practice. And I'll have people leave my office and say, well, that was fun. Like, you guys are crazy, but I'm glad you thought it was fun.
Yeah, well, maybe it's not fun to you because you do it 20 maybe. Times a day. I don't know. I think it's always fun optimizing things and getting things set up and squared away in the best case possible scenario. So I'm just kind of weird like that, I guess.
But it is a nice weight off your shoulder.
Yeah. But of course, I built a whole podcast on how do we maximize our membership. So,
which is better for everybody else.
Yeah. So, okay, then. So 2018, you become members at Copper Creek. And is there a reason why you guys picked Copper Creek?
I knew we were going to buy direct at that point because some of the rules had changed. And I realized I could have done some other things like bought a smaller contract. But for me, sometimes I need to do the easy thing because I have a lot going on. So for us, it was we were going to buy one contract total direct with Disney. There weren't that many options. And also, Wilderness Lodge is possibly our favorite resort. I think as an overall, it is our favorite resort. So for us, that was good. Now, we will choose to stay at other resorts for a lot of different reasons. Location is usually the reason. Uh-huh. But it is overall our favorite. And so that was part of it for me.
Yeah, I own a Copper Creek as well and absolutely positively love it there. Mm-hmm. I love it there, but I also love it every place else too. So,
right? Isn't it crazy? Like, yeah.
I'm at Disney, right? I don't care.
No, I don't know if they're even looking back at it now, like if any location was available, if I could repurchase anywhere direct with reasonable prices, you know, nothing inflated because they don't have many for sale or things like that, I would probably still pick Copper Creek.
That means it's a really good fit for you as well.
Yeah, so it's home.
So in this decision process, did you like do the math between travel agent discounts and DVC? Or did you just kind of say, hey, look, DVC is part of a lifestyle and it fits with us? Did you go through that analysis?
For one, the travel agent discount may not always be there. And especially as time is going on, just like availability for DVC rooms are sometimes becoming less available, travel agent discounts are becoming less available. And my agency may have some years where we don't sell enough, where we don't. And it's not just me. I'm a part of a larger agency. So everybody combined, we may not sell enough to be able to continue to get those benefits through Disney. So for one, I wanted to not have to count on that. But okay, as of right now, we are taking enough significant trips to Walt Disney World that I can still utilize both. But there is a limit to how many travel agent discount stays we get in a year.
Got it.
And so this can still work with that based on the number of times we go. We also really like large rooms sometimes. And so that works out fine too, because then I can get a larger room, or if it's a pre-cruise stay and my mom is coming, we can get a larger room. So far, there hasn't been an issue utilizing all of my available ways to end up with a place to stay, if that makes sense.
Got it. And it's not like I have too many points as a problem for very many people.
Right.
So I fully get that. Okay. So it sounds like your answer here is I wanted the flexibility of using both. If the TA discount is there, I'm going to jump on it. It may or may not be there. There may or may not be availability there, but I know there's going to be availability with 7 and 11 month planning someplace in DVC.
Right. And there are still trips that we end up either having to use a pass holder discount or something else. I actually still have more opportunities to utilize more either points or discounts or this or that, that I just, we're addicts. We go way too many times.
Got it. So, well, let's just answer that question. How often do you guys find yourself going to Disney?
It partially does depend on our annual pass situation, but I mean, my son is 6 and he's been 19 times.
Holy cow.
So some of them may have been a little bit shorter, but we won't actually do short trips with him at this point because it's just too much work. So, and maybe we would count it if it was still a couple nights before a cruise. But yeah, so he's been 19 times. Because I actually made a chart, which is when I finally decided to start making a chart for my own trips. But then like last year, my husband and I went 8 times.
Okay.
But a couple of those were like a day.
Okay. Well, I kind of get that as well, because when I had my Premier Annual Pass, I probably spent 60 days in the parks over the course of a year.
Nice. Yeah, she told me, because I called about our annual pass to see what some options I had for them were, which in case this comes out before the parks open, it was wait until the parks open, unless you just want a straight discount, or if you want to just add on the days, you add on the days. But those were my options. Otherwise, she said, wait till the parks reopen and you could talk to somebody else. But when I called, she said that you have been to the parks for 57 days.
Wow. Well, it's good to know that they're databasing that.
Apparently they are. I had no idea. And I was supposed to have a 10-day or a 9-day trip. I'm still so sad about that, about not being able to go. It was like a really beautifully planned trip over the spring break trip that didn't get to happen this year. That one's a painful one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, being an annual pass holder, I make fast passes for arrival day. I make fast passes every day that I'm there. Mm-hmm. And then if I use them, great. If not, or something changes, I just release them and somebody else will pick them up.
For sure. As I said, we changed our hotel and we had changed it to a club level room. So we were doing the club level add-on fast passes.
Ooh.
And like I said, man, we did that for 3 of the days, but it was just a beautifully planned. I was going to get on Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad a bunch of times. I was very happy.
So it was some of your best planning work is what you're telling me.
It was literally my best planning, even over a very busy time of year. I mean, it was going to be incredibly busy. And man, it was beautiful. It was a work of art.
Let's move over to some of our rapid fire questions here.
Okay. Get me back on a happier topic.
Yeah. We gotta pull up, man. Pull up, right? Dole Whip or Mickey Bar?
Mickey Bar.
Churro or Mickey Pretzel?
So I'm celiac, which definitely changes my answers, which means I'm medically gluten-free. Even if I could make both of those gluten-free, I would still pick the churro. And there is a place for me to get a churro at Animal Kingdom at Nomad Lounge. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a little shocked here that there's no gluten-free Mickey Pretzels.
And actually, you can get churros now at 3 Bridges and at Coronado Springs. So now you can go there. Or you can go to Nomad Lounge to get the churro.
Got it.
So maybe somebody will have come up with the pretzel during the shutdown.
I need to get you and Shannon together and let's do a gluten-free show one day.
Sure. I'm game. We love eating.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody loves talking about food episodes. So that one will be popular no matter what, whether you're gluten-free or whatever, because we all have to go every now and then, or we have somebody who's gluten-free in our party. So...
Well, my family, neither my husband or son are gluten-free. So we have to find restaurants that work for everybody.
Absolutely. So do you wear ears or rock a t-shirt?
Sometimes both.
Okay. Favorite park?
Magic Kingdom.
Favorite land?
Main Street, USA.
Favorite attraction?
Well, I think it will be Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad, but I haven't been on it yet. Soarin' is possibly my favorite attraction. The safari. I think it's the safari.
Okay. Those are all some great choices. So then on the Mickey and Minnie Railroad, have you watched the spoiler videos or no. Are you just going to be surprised?
I'm going to be surprised. So okay. There's like the trailer that runs on the website that you can't even not watch. My son was actually just watching this the other day. He's like, we have to go on that. I know we do. But no, I will not. I will not let people talk too much about it. Around me, I will fast forward if I think people are going to talk about it on a podcast because I really want to experience it.
Fair enough. So what's the best place on property to relax and enjoy a drink or a dessert?
Gotta be the Nomad Lounge. We love that place. And it's not just because of the churro, although I love the churros there. It's got a great atmosphere. It's very relaxing. There's the outdoor seating if it's kind of nice. There's the indoor seating. I love it there.
I hear a lot of answers on the podcast that Nomad Lounge ranks really high. Is there something on the menu there that's your all-time favorite or your go-to?
Besides the churro. I really actually like their pork ribs.
Okay.
Yeah. So their pork ribs are really good. We'll go there a lot. And a pro tip for people, kids can order off the Tiffin's kid menu, which is easy enough to find something your kid would like at the Nomad Lounge. So we'll go there for lunch and my husband and I will eat small plates and my son will eat a kid's meal. And then we'll end with a couple of orders of churros.
That just sounds delicious.
It's so good. It is so good. They also have bowls. I don't know what any of the names of anything is called, but oh, and their cheese plate's really good. But they have these bowls. Well, they have these bowls of fries and they have gravy and cheese inside the fries. So they have those that are really tasty. Again, I don't know what any of that stuff's called. There are so many good things there and they have great drinks, great bartenders, great servers. I mean, it's a really good restaurant.
I think that's probably one of the best places in Animal Kingdom.
Oh, for sure.
And I would even say it can hang with some of the higher end Epcot restaurants as well.
I agree. We love it. I mean, we will work out. We could have a short trip and we still are trying to find a way to get there.
So it really is on your must do Disney list.
It is. Even my son. So my son and I have done a couple of mother-son trips without my husband. My husband has had, he takes us one trip a year to go to Europe. And so during a few of those years, we have been able to sneak off ourselves, go to Walt Disney World. And when we were planning this last one, that would have been in November, I said, okay, where do you want to go? I basically just kind of let him plan it. I didn't really care what we did. And he's like, I want to go to the place with the sticks that are really yummy. And so he was referring to the Nomad Lounge to get churros.
At the place with the sticks that are really yummy.
It took a second for us to figure out to pull it out of him because he kept like giving little tips or little things in his head to describe. It took a minute, but then I was like, oh, you want to get churros at the Nomad Lounge? And he was like, yes. I actually just made them. And we failed a couple of times or different, but they worked out. And now we can make churros at home. I mean, I still want churros at Walt Disney World, but.
Yeah, it's always better on vacation.
Right. Not cleaning up after ourselves.
I'm going to sneak one more question in here and then we'll get back to the food conversation.
Okay.
The MyDVC Points Patreons came up with a question that they asked me to ask everybody in the rapid fire questions. And is, do you have a single tip for maximizing the value of your DVC membership?
I think it depends because I do honestly feel like value means something different to everybody. Mm-hmm. And so value doesn't necessarily just mean how am I going to save money, mm-hmm. but it's how could I get an amazing experience out of something? And like the cabins at Copper Creek, for example, I would not pay full price per night to stay there, but I would pull my points together and stay there for a few nights through points. And so I think experiences like that, that you otherwise wouldn't be able, you wouldn't look at paying for, quote unquote, in real life, is to me how I get the maximum value out of my DVC membership.
Oh, that is a great tip. Because I know at our Aulani trip next year, I'm saving points and doing everything I can to pull off a grand villa with oceanfront. Yes. And I looked at that for those 8 nights and you're talking about a $30,000 rack rate kind of a price. There's no way I would pay that.
No.
Okay. Mm-mm.
I mean, but if you won the lotto, but.
Yeah. But I mean, even I would have to just have like Uber amounts of wealth that 30 grand is like me spending, you know, $5 at a fast food restaurant.
Which is why you have to have won the lotto.
Yeah. I mean, if I was in that situation, maybe. Okay. But even then, I don't know that I would just. Because I'd look at it and go, what else could I do for 30 grand? I mean.
Right. Well, that's the thing about sort of splurging on a trip. You cannot do that. You cannot think about what else you could do with that money.
Yeah.
That is the key.
That seems like that's travel agent 101 advice. Okay.
At least the way we look at it when we plan our own trip.
Okay. So maximize the value you have, come back in and get the most awesome experiences that you can, which I'm 100% down for. I'm a cheapskate and a half as well, but I look at this question of value and go, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And everybody has different ways of valuing their membership, which is why we asked the question.
Exactly. And I am a very frugal person, like ridiculously frugal, like will not stop at to buy a cup of coffee. while you're on your way to work type of thing, because I could make all the coffee I need at my own house for a fraction of the cost, right? Like even the really good beans I could pay $7 for, and I could take it to work for 2 to 3 weeks before the beans run out. And I have, you know what I mean? So, but I will spend money on a cabin at Copper Creek on occasion. And so, or points or whatever it is. And so I can be very frugal so that I can do really nice and have really wonderful experiences.
Yeah, that's my point exactly, right? Because people look at me and go, man, you pinch a penny so hard. And then you turn around and go do something like really insane and lavish. Okay. Well, that's a really great tip on value there. Back to this food question then. So how does your family do food at Disney? Are you a meal plan person? Do you use your kitchens?
No to almost both of those questions, basically.
Okay. Tables in Wonderland then?
We do Tables in Wonderland. And last year, so over our 8 trips, we had the dining plan twice. We had the dining plan for New Year's Eve a couple of years ago. And then we had the dining plan over a few day trip. I would not use it over a week long trip. I just don't. I, first of all, go to more table or sit down restaurants than quick service. The 2 sit down meal, I cannot figure out the value in that one for that dining plan. And then deluxe is insane. Awesome, but insane. And so we used it for those short trips because financially it made sense. Mm-hmm. I knew that I could throw a bunch of character meals. And because I have a kid, I'm getting some good value out of the dining plan there because of him. And I enjoy alcoholic beverages. I would have an alcoholic beverage with the meal. And so we could strategize and utilize those meals appropriately and make them work. But over a regular trip, it would not financially make sense.
I'm with you 100%. I could see it coming back in for a split stay. Mm-hmm. So that one little segment of the trip has this thing kicked in.
And that's what we did. So for our spring break trip, we were supposed to have, we were at 7 nights at the Contemporary, and then we were doing a 1 night at the end of our trip, because under certain rates, we can only book 7 nights at a time. And so we were moving over to the Boardwalk, which was perfect because we were doing a lot of Epcot and Hollywood Studios over those 2 days anyway, plus going home. But we did the deluxe dining plan because there were several restaurants that I wanted to go to over those 24 hours that perfectly worked out with that dining plan.
Nice.
Yeah. And then the kitchen, I mean, we will maybe heat up popcorn, but I just buy the popcorn bucket and then do the refills throughout the week. Or if there's an old one that's still being used, sometimes that one comes back to Walt Disney World with me. Now, I don't bring one from like 6 years ago back, but if I'm going multiple times in the same year, you know, and then we will use it maybe to heat up something, but really, no, we use the refrigerator and that's probably it. And I use the coffee pot because, again, I'm frugal about certain things, which paying for coffee is one of them.
Got it. So do you use any kind of grocery delivery service then, or do you just not buy enough food there to...
So it would also depend if we are doing a hotel stay instead of a DVC stay and if we have club level or not. But if we are doing DVC and we do need milk for my son still, we do sometimes order some things. We don't typically go out for breakfast, but I have to eat breakfast. And so we'll just do something that we can do there. And I could do a grocery service for that.
Got it. So do you normally do a grocery service then, or just because it's so light, just hit the DVC convenience store?
Yeah, so it's both. It depends. I prefer to give my son organic milk. And so I need to order that through like Amazon Prime Now. We have to work it out now with the arriving at the same time because we've had our milk get spoiled before because they didn't put it in the fridge.
Ooh.
Yeah. So then we have to, like, you know, you're on the phone with Amazon forever to get your money back. It's a pain in the butt. So we will do that more often than that. Or we do sometimes also take a car service from the airport because even though I'm frugal, I'm also impatient. And so I love, like, if we have a short trip, if my husband and I have a 24-hour trip, we almost always have our car service guy pick us up because I could be, like, I met Sandy, who's been on your show several times, a million times, at Disney Springs. We had landed a half an hour before. and got off, got our car service, made it to Disney Springs within a half an hour.
Okay. So when you say you're taking a car there, do you have like an Uber or is there a specific company that you use?
There is a car service that I actually found in 2013 because I wanted to take a car service because I'm impatient again, but I needed one with a car seat for my infant son. He was a baby at the time. I found him. The company is Orlando Airport Town Car Service, which is basically what you would Google when you're looking for a car service. His rates are super reasonable. He does not pay commission to travel agents, but I still promote him like crazy. He has been driving us for 7 years and doing an amazing job at it. He's always standing there. If we have a schedule change, it's easy. So the owner's name is George and he's got several drivers. So sometimes we'll have a few of their drivers, but we'll have him pick us up from a resort and take us to Port Canaveral if we're doing a cruise. Or like we've been finding these Uber drivers. So a lot of times we'll get picked up at the airport and then we would sometimes Uber back. But these Uber drivers are like taking you on all these back roads and anything to avoid the toll road. And it's getting frustrating, honestly. So we've actually been using him now for the way back a lot more. And then the beginning years, Uber wasn't a thing when we were going with our son. So we were just taking him both ways. He has been phenomenal. I one time called him from the airplane. Now, again, I've been using him for 7 years exclusively. Called him on the airplane in Detroit about to take off and just said, you know, I really just want you to pick me up. And he had a car there for me 2.5 hours later.
So what's it cost then for like a ride from MCO to your resort?
$60.
Okay.
But we got on this topic because he will do a grocery stop. So you have to let them know in advance and you don't have to tip extra. And it's $60 plus tip. But whoever his driver is helps with the luggage. If you have it, sometimes we literally come with a backpack and don't have anything, but they'll do a grocery stop for you. So he'll know where to go and I can get everything I need to get. It's a, you know, you have to do it quick. You have about 15 minutes, but that's the airport MCO to Walt Disney World property. If you are going to the cruise terminal, obviously it's much further.
Do you have an estimate for what that costs?
It's on his website. It's very clearly on his website. I don't know offhand. And it's a different price if you're taking a sedan versus an SUV. And so sometimes but he is phenomenal. And it's really, he's just a good guy. And like I said, he has never let us down. He has never not been there exactly where he's supposed to be with the little name on a sign or standing outside or at the bottom of the escalator to baggage claim. Or if he's picking us up to take us either back to the airport or to the cruise port, he's right there. Always when they're supposed to be.
Okay. He has a rate listed here for $135 for a town car for 1 to 4 passengers.
Is that each way or
yep,
both ways?
That's each way.
Okay.
Yep. And well, it's $270 for a round trip. So you're not getting a round trip discount.
No.
But it's $165 for an SUV, which is probably a pretty comparable rate or competitive rate to what Disney would charge you to take their bus service.
I never remember that price because it keeps going up, but it's like $35 or something a person.
If you're going on a cruise, do you think it's worth it to take the Disney transportation to have luggage handled for you or?
Well, so your luggage, you're not dealing with your luggage that much on a Disney cruise. You have to get it in and out of the car, but you have a porter and you have a car service guy. So you don't ever have to lift the luggage. You do have to get it from your room down to where the car service is. But one of the things I look at is when you're arriving at Port Canaveral, you are arriving with an entire bus full of people. You've had to stop potentially at several other hotels on your way, where if you're in a town car, you can directly go there. If you're in a town car, they will do the same stop if you want. So if you wanted to pick up beer or wine at the grocery store just before you get on the ship so that you can carry that on with you, the town car will do that. So there are still advantages. And then when you arrive at the terminal, you are not arriving with an entire bus full of people who have to get off and go through security. And if you don't get off in time or you're waiting for a bag from underneath and it's taking you longer, you're behind all of those people through security. And this way you're just through.
Got it.
So I'm always balancing my desire for efficiency versus my frugalness. And so for some things, we're just like, oh, yeah, we're putting this into the price of the trip. But then for other things, like I almost never buy a water at the parks. And as you know, I won't buy a coffee almost ever at the bars. I don't drink soda as a general rule, so I don't buy that. And I don't even like my husband to buy it because I am too frugal to pay those prices. I will carry water in and I will do all these things, but then I will spend money on a car service because that adds value to me that makes my trip a little bit better and easier and quicker.
Yeah, that's making my point exactly, because we all see value differently and we all value different things. I drink vitamins that I have to mix with water, and it's like a critical deal for me to take. So I don't care if it's $3.50. Okay. Yeah. And what I'll do, though, to save a penny is I'll go inside a gift shop and use my annual pass or DVC discount at the register there to buy my water or soda, as opposed to buying it off of a cart where you get no discount. I'm also paying for it with a Disney gift card that I got 10 to 15% off retail price on. So it's like I'm saving money left and right, or at least minimizing the spend as I get these conveniences.
Right. And again, it's all just whatever anybody feels is their value point.
You've been a member since 2018. How have you used your points thus far? Where have you stayed?
We have stayed at Copper Creek. Our welcome home trip was at the beach club, actually. And that was over New Year's Eve. So that was one of those. We got it booked at the last minute. We had a great trip. That was one of our favorite trips. And we didn't even go to the parks.
Really?
Yeah, we decided at the last minute, because there was going to be a big gap. We had annual passes, so we could have gone to the park, but there would have been a big gap between that trip and when we were going next, which was late April. And so we decided to maximize our annual pass. We would just have it go through from late April to April again, and we were going to get more value out of it there than having that big 4-month gap without it, without a trip. And then I would have added on a million trips, because I am ridiculous like that. If I have tickets burning a hole in my pocket, I want to use them. And so it was better for us to not use our annual passes then. And we had a blast. We had a blast, all of us.
Okay.
And then we've stayed at Copper Creek. We've stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge. I think that's it. So we've stayed several times at Copper Creek.
Okay. A few times at Copper Creek. You did a welcome home at Beach Club, and then over at Kidani. So what all is on your DVC bucket list?
So we've done a cabin stay at Copper Creek, and we're going back there in the fall. So I don't know that it's a bucket list because I've already done it, but I love it so much.
It's a bucket list to repeat it. I'll buy that. Sure.
There you go. Then that's what I'll call it.
You're like the second interview in a row that's just been like praising those cabins.
If you took that and placed it somewhere else besides Walt Disney World, you could easily go and stay there for a week. The cabin in the woods or whatever, the beach cabin. You were just talking on the episode that you released about the up north, what we call it in Michigan, where you have your cottage or second home up north. It would be perfect in any of those locations. It is like so well appointed, perfectly laid out, in my opinion. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I just wish it slept 9 people is my only beef with it. But for that amount of points, okay.
I would never probably shove 9 people in there. So for me, it's less of an issue, but I can totally see that.
Well, I've done 9 people in a 2-bedroom before, and it's a little tight. But for that amount of points, they could have figured out a way to make that happen. And I'm really kind of disappointed that they didn't make that bedroom a 2-queen bedroom somehow. But that's neither here nor there.
Could have done another trundle bed somewhere.
Exactly. They could have put something in there someplace. But I get it. It's really cool having the TV over the fireplace. And they normally put that trundle bed under the TV. So I get what happened there.
Have you've been through them?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where else you would put that TV that would make sense. I don't particularly typically love a TV over the fireplace just in general. But where else in that room would you put the TV? And so that, I feel like in that regard, that made the most sense. Plus, you could see it from in the kitchen, but I understand.
Yeah, it would just be a matter of scrapping the fireplace underneath it.
They could also have done a thing that said, whoa, that fireplace is beautiful. I don't want them to scrap that. They could have done it where, like at the boardwalk, you are allowed to sleep more people in there, but you have to bring your own bedding. So they could have just done that, where you could sleep 9 and then you bring your own blow up bed, because there's definitely room for that.
I don't know. I'd have to think about that. Maybe I think people would balk if it was like closer to the kitchen. but there's a huge dining room table in there that I'm thinking could be multi-purpose somehow. Okay.
That table was huge. It's a bit ridiculously sized. I won't lie. Now, when we stayed there, we did more eating inside the place. So we did a bigger food order where we could, I had this grandiose idea to make breakfast there one day. I don't think that ever happened. I don't even know that I ordered the food to make that happen. But because it's such an awesome kitchen, you just want to say, I made breakfast there. Definitely ate several meals. Like, we did not want to leave the place.
The bucket list is to really go back to Copper Creek Cabins again. I'm down with, okay? Any desire to check out a bungalow?
You know, I did. I had it booked. It's so funny because our friends' DVC points, I just sort of feel like that's like play money. If you will, I have to pay, but I pay. I have a very good situation worked out with her. So we had one booked for one night only. And then I think it was after Len Testa had stayed there and just talked about how loud those boats were. It kind of talked me out of it and how he didn't get the room until 4:30 or 5:30 or something. And we were only doing one night. So we would have had that situation where we weren't going to get it until 4 o'clock if they gave it to us late. And how loud those boats and fireworks were, that to me was an issue because my kid still goes to bed early on vacation almost every night, like his normal bedtime. And so that talked me out of it. I really wanted to stay in one of those, but I don't know if situationally I will.
It's still on my list to stay there about 3 nights. Well, as you pointed out, you don't get it till 4.
Right.
And then if you're out at 11 the next morning, you don't even get a full 24 hours.
I know. Yeah, that's way too much.
And then if they're late, you're paying per hour to have that room. Time is money, people. Okay.
I would lose my mind.
That's something that I would definitely be complaining about based on what it cost me to be that late. Okay.
Right.
Especially because they sit empty so often that.
Right. It's like, what took you so long to get it? You had to clean the one somebody else was already in.
And unless you're like giving me the exact room location that I asked for.
Right.
Okay. I could see that saying, okay, well, you asked for this specific room. The consequence of us fulfilling that is it's going to take us longer to get to it.
Yeah. So I think as my son gets older and he stays up later more consistently, then that makes sense because you could. It seems like so much fun to sit and watch the fireworks from the balcony and just hang out there. So it would definitely, I would want it to be a time of year that I could utilize that outdoor space.
If I see myself at either one of them, mm-hmm. you might as well make it a non-park stay.
Yeah. Well, and that's what we basically did. That is what we did when we were at the cabins. We basically didn't leave. Like, we left to go eat dinner a couple of times at a couple different places. And then I think my husband and I had one night out as adults only. Oh, we did, because we got rained on. It was ridiculous. I had never actually seen it rain that long. It sort of reminded me of this last year where they actually canceled the fireworks. And I'm a little bit surprised that they didn't. It rained a ton. But so one night, my husband and I went and did a date night, that 3 nights that we were in the cabins. My mom was with us, so she stayed with my son. They had their own little time in the cabin. My husband and I had a date night, and then we obviously just stayed there the rest of the time. And we did a hotel change.
A split stay?
We did a split stay, and we moved, I believe, to the Polynesian after that. And so it was kind of, it was perfect. We did all of our park days then once she went back home.
That makes sense to me as well. Have your little date night out while mom's there to babysit. Right. And because then that gives them some great time in the cabin to have some great grandma, grandson kind of activities.
Absolutely. And they love each other. So it's great for them.
Well, seeing that we're on cabins and bungalows and that kind of deal, that conversation just sets this up perfectly for the Tinkerbell question. So if Tinkerbell were to put 2,000 one-time use points into your account with guaranteed availability for anything that you wanted to book in the entire DVC catalog, how would you spend Tink's magical points?
So I spent about 1,400 of those points, decided the rest I would just use whenever. But I am going to, in my perfect world, do the Alani 3-bedroom. So I would go over my birthday in August, and it would be perfect because my son would be out of school. my mom would come and it would be a ridiculously large room for the amount of people there, but I don't care because everybody would have a room. So my son would have a room, my mom would have a room. They were free points the way I look at it. So I could have my magical stay all I want. So we would do that for a week.
I was going to say, okay, like everybody's got some elbow room here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's because in my dreamland, if I'm dreaming, I dream that where everybody gets a room, everybody gets to like have their own space and time. And it's a dream. So I could do that. I'm not putting the 12 people in there that could fit. There would be four of us and I would love it.
So 1400 points at Alani.
Sorry, it's actually 1100 if it's because it's magic season for my birthday. So I'm sorry, I figured it out for next year. So if it was over next year's points, and then I would actually do three nights in Copper Creek again, because I feel like longer than that, I kind of want to go to the parks, but I don't want to go to the parks, even in my perfect world where I have free points. I don't want to go to the parks often or much or during my Copper Creek stay. Like you just, if yeah. you're staying in that cabin, you have to stay in that cabin.
Okay.
And then I had 600 points left and I don't care what happens to them after that.
You're just going to use them on general vacation stuff then, right?
Yes.
Okay. One of the multiple 10 trips a year.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. If I had perfect availability, then I would have the boardwalk over Food and Wine Festival with my husband for our little getaway weekends that we try to do for the festival. And some of the reasons that our trips, like we'll make these short trips is because my mom can watch my kid for as long as we can manage to be away. So we'll go for as long as she has availability to watch my son. And sometimes it's a two-night trip. Sometimes it's three. And sometimes it's more. And if it's not, we don't care. We're still going to do it.
Makes sense to me. Have annual pass, we'll travel.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think multiple guests have pointed out that that annual pass is kind of like the gateway drug into Disney.
The worst. It is so the worst.
Because you're looking at it like, man, for my family of five, I've got almost $4,000 in annual passes. And that's just for the gold. And then you start looking at it going, okay, how do I make the most out of this annual pass? Okay.
Right. Well, and then just opportunities show up. Like when Pandora start opened up.
Oh, yes. There's an annual pass preview day.
Yeah. So I had to be there for that. And then it worked out that my mom could babysit. So again, we just like jetted off for a very quick trip. And then Star Wars preview days, it all worked out again.
Oh, and look, literally, an Epcot magnet.
Now, I won't usually go for an Epcot magnet, but I did, which I'm so grateful for now. I did do another 24-hour trip this year because I really wanted to go to the art festival. And then I was going to have gone to every festival during the course of the year.
Okay. So you knocked every festival off, checked it off the list in 1 year.
Well, I would have.
Oh, okay.
Dun, dun, dun. My beautiful spring break. Like, ruined trip, ruined that plan. But whatever. I at least now I've gone to all the festivals. I guess we can look at it that way. So, and I got a magnet.
Awesome.
Yeah. I was supposed to trade with you a magnet that you are not getting anymore either.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. We have to see what happens to those Orange Bird magnets. I did end up just buying one for like $15 from the Donald one off of eBay.
Oh, there you go.
Because I was like, I don't know what's going to happen with those. I may or may not be able to get them. Blah, 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 blah. And who knows what Disney's going to do with magnets. I don't think they really, truly appreciate those of us who collect the magnets, what it means to us.
Right.
AKA yeah. Simba fiasco.
Yeah. Aww.
I had to get one of them off of eBay too, and I'm not happy about it.
Those went quick.
Yeah, like 3 days, and then they promised to send them out, and then they never did, and blah, 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 blah. And I even had like Club 33 member friends trying to get me magnets with their pull and got nothing. 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 So, yeah, not happy about the magnets. Okay, enough ranting on magnets. Happy thoughts. Happy thoughts, right?
Yes. Let's go back. I'm staring at my magnets right now, missing my flower and garden one, but that's okay.
Do you have any advice to new or prospective DVC members?
Definitely think it through. Don't just get excited about the gift bag that Walt Disney World could give you or Disney will give you for buying it through them if you decide to go through them. But it's a fun community. And I am definitely glad to be a part of it. And I guess the only other thing is just think about your points and be conscious of how they expire and when they expire, and make sure you sit down with a friend to talk through. People probably know somebody that's already a DVC member. So, or reach out to somebody in your community and just see how those points work so that you don't put yourself in a situation where you're basically not using points for a year.
Yeah, that's the whole reason why I've developed this podcast, is so that we can have some kind of peer-to-peer mentoring if you don't know somebody. And
yeah,
when we started, we looked at this, and when we looked at it for like 15 years and sat on the fence and waffling. And then finally, my last one, my wife said, you know, my mom's former coworker has been a member since Beach Club was sold. And I looked it up on the charts, and I'm like, well, that's like 15 plus years. And she said she'd talk with us. And I'm like, really? So how do we get her on the phone? And that's where we had this great conversation. And that's what I'm trying to replicate in some of these podcast interviews, is how can I take that level of peer-to-peer mentoring and just share about the club, what we love, what we don't love, and how people can maximize their value. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Yeah, I think you do a great job with it too.
Oh, well, thank you. Speaking of doing great jobs with podcasts, how can people follow up with you?
I am a co-host with the DCL podcast. So we record about Disney Cruise Line and anything else we decide to cover. We actually do a lot of Adventures by Disney as well, but then we're branching out to, I'll travel somewhere. And so we'll cover something else usually as well. And then I am all over the internet at Pack Your Pixie Dust. So that's my social media handle. So if anybody wants to reach out and talk Disney, I'd love to do it.
Awesome. DCL podcast, you, Steve, Chris, can't say enough great things about you guys, your show. You guys are kind of like my DCL cousins, okay? Because you guys do the same type of content, you know, individual trip reports and then reviews on a restaurant, or you'll go deep on a subject. And so we're kind of like cousins in that sense of the word, where I just stick to the vacation club and you guys kind of hit the cruises and ABDs and Christie's off-property adventures, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah, we have so much fun. Podcasting is one of the most entertaining things to do.
It's a lot of fun. It's definitely a lot of fun. If I could just figure out how I could just get out of the post-production.
Oh, right? I'm very grateful and thankful that Steve does all of that for us. He's a pilot, so when he is off on trips, which is why he started the podcast in the first place, he kind of wanted something to do while he was doing these layovers. And so it's perfect. We are very grateful that he does all of our editing for us.
Yeah. I mean, he was just on our Alani show, and I'm going, yeah, if I'm stuck overnight in Hawaii, the last thing I'm doing is editing a podcast.
Yes, but he's not always stuck in Hawaii. He is a lot of times stuck at the airport in New Jersey or other places like that. And when you're going to the same places over and over again, there's only so much of whatever you need to do, right? Like, you've already been there and done that. So
I get it. So if I was in Boise, Idaho for the night, I'd be editing podcasts.
Right.
not to slam on Boise, Idaho, but I don't
checking corn. Maybe they do that. Maybe they don't, but
okay. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
I look forward to having you back, because we've got a couple of more shows to do. We've got the estate planning show. We've got a Copper Creek Cabin show. I'm just going to tie you up for forever, Christy.
I'm in. Hopefully I'll make it exciting.
Oh, as always. I think one of the key takeaways from this episode is just realizing that value is in the eye of the beholder. I thought it was interesting the way Christy was saying, hey, look, I don't spend money on bottles of water in the park when they have free water, but yet at the same point in time, she's willing to come back in and pay for transportation from MCO to her resort and back, as opposed to taking the Magical Express for free. And I get it, time is money. But it just goes to show you, we all see things differently in life. And the more you personalize your neighbor and you get to understand their whys, the more human that it makes us and the more it connects us. This was a great episode, and I want to thank Christy for doing that, and I do hope you guys go over and tune into DCL Podcast. I'd also like to thank DVC Rental Store, DVC Resale Market, Incredible Vacation Homes,
and Monera Financial for sponsoring our platform. Can't say enough great things about them. If you've got some extra points to rent out, head on over to DVC Rental Store. Or if you're looking to buy a contract or even refi a contract, Monera Financial will be glad to help you out with that. I'd also like to thank Sarai KC for this awesome 5-star review in iTunes. I've learned so much from this podcast. It's great for DVC members and non-DVC members. Chad is a great host. The podcast has certainly piqued my interest in buying DVC. That's what we're all about. We're here to help you learn about the vacation club and make an educated and informed decision about what's best for your family. And with that in mind, I hope you take what you learned from this podcast and go plan something amazing for your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.